My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Remember Dr. Doolittle? He was the beloved children's book character created by Hugh Lofting in the 1920s who could speak with animals in their own languages and better understand nature. What would you do if you could talk to the animals? My guest tonight, Sue Pike, does just that. Sue is an animal communicator, spirit channeler, spiritual teacher, and Reiki master in the Usui tradition. She teaches Reiki level 1 through master level. Her Reiki sessions include the use of crystals and other energy techniques and include channeled messages from many spiritual realms. As an animal talker, Sue sends and receives messages to and from animals. She can do this work with living animals or those in spirit form and works with animals in person or from a distance. She includes Reiki for the animal if they want it. Her mission is to give a voice to as many animals as possible. Sue's been featured in a segment on Late Night with Seth Meyers working with his dog Frisbee and in articles for the New York Times and Vogue.com for her animal communication. You can hear her interviews every third Thursday of the month streaming on WMNF's Ultrasound Show in Tampa, Florida, where she offers messages directly channeled from the animal realms for the highest good of people and the planet. You can visit Sue at her blog at animalchanneler.blogspot.com or on her website, suepikeenergy.com. Please join me in welcoming Sue Pike. Good evening, Sue.
Hello, Victor. Thank you for having me. And I know the animals are happy, too.
Well, I'm sure they are. And we're really happy to have you on. So, Sue, let's start out with this question. What is an animal communicator?
An animal communicator is someone who is able to telepathically speak to animals, and we hear back from them via sounds, sights, and it's a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul, mind-to-mind communication. And as an animal communicator and spirit channeler, I also can connect with the animal's spirit guides. So if the animal is distracted or sick or doesn't want to talk to me, but we need to get critical information for them, for their healing or whatever the situation is, I also can connect to their spirit guides. Yes, animals have spirit guides just like people do.
I can
connect to them as well.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the act of communication itself. So, I would think that animals don't have language per se, although they may understand and respond to certain human commands. But do they speak to you mostly in image forms or feelings?
Yes. So what happens is I imagine a gold cord of light going from my heart to the animal's heart. I take a deep breath, a few deep breaths, and just get quiet. I usually meditate prior to a session. And then what happens is I connect with the animal. I do most of my sessions remotely, and I just see the animal's picture, and I look into their eyes, take a few deep breaths, and then I ask whatever questions are that the person wants me to find out from them. And then from them, I get a movie of the answer to the question. So, for example, what was my animal's life like before I adopted them? So I will ask them in my mind, what was your life like before, blah, 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 adopted you? And they'll show me a picture of them running around in a yard and playing on grass or being tied up and hit and abused or, whatever the scenario was, I will see an image of that. I also will get a feeling. So if an animal is sick, I can feel how they are feeling. I ask before the session for me to feel physically what the animal is feeling. And so if they're feeling nauseous, for example, I will feel that. If they're on any kind of medication, they'll tell me how that feels, and I will hear them say, it makes me feel bad in my head, or I'll start feeling dizzy, I'll feel nauseous, things like that. So I get the information via images, but also through feelings, a knowing, and hearing.
You know, a lot of humans get a little uptight or nervous or worried before having a session with a medium or a psychic. Do animals ever get uptight before having sessions with you?
No, they're so excited to actually be able to have a voice and to tell the person what they're thinking and feeling. And in particular, if they're hearing their person talk about getting another animal and they really don't want to have an animal friend, they're very excited to talk to me. So they can tell their person, please, no, do not get another cat. I like to be the number one cat. Thank you.
Pet sibling rivalry, huh?
Yeah.
That's funny. Now, when did you first realize you had this ability, and what was that like?
Well, it was very exciting, actually. I was receiving Reiki and being attuned to Reiki 1 and 2 and 3. And after I received my advanced practitioner attunement, all of a sudden, I started to become a channel. It just came to me as a gift. And I thought, well, if I can do this for people, why not animals? So I started to work on people's animals, friends of mine, friends and family's pets, and just to see if I could communicate back and forth with them. And I was able to. So I thought, well, geez, this is amazing. I've always wanted to work with animals. I love animals. And so my husband and I went to Utah. And the fellow we were visiting had cutting horses. He had 6 working horses. And the guy was actually having some problems with some of the horses. And I told him, hey, I'm starting this thing, animal communication, I think. Can I practice with your horses? And the fellow said, well, of course, let's go. So he took me to the barn. And one by one, I started talking to each of his horses. And after that, it was clear to me that I was able to do it. So I left that fellow's ranch, and I remember just standing outside saying, I am an animal communicator, and he just kind of announced it. So when I got home, I thought, well, maybe I should read some books on this. And all the books I read from other animal communicators, everything they suggested to do, I was already doing. It just came to me as a gift.
Naturally, yeah.
Yeah.
Are horses in general, are they depressed because they have such long faces?
Ha, ha, ha.
Sorry, you know me. I had to get that
in. Had to go there.
So we touched upon this
a little bit
briefly before, but let's say I came to you and I called you and I had an issue with my cat and I wanted to find out what was going on. What would a typical session with you be like?
Well, first what I do is before I even, people send me a picture of their animal and a list of questions prior to the session. I always ask to see the animal before we connect. And so what happens is before they even call me to get the answers to the questions, I do a little quiet time with the animal and I do the telepathic back and forth with them. And I ask them, is there anything you want to tell me? And sometimes they have a lot to say. And sometimes they're kind of shy and quiet and they just want to wait until the person gets on the phone and just answer the questions. But a lot of times they have a lot to say. So what happens is I write everything down, everything that they tell me. The person calls me to get the answers to the questions they've asked. But before that, I just tell them everything the animal says. And then we go through the questions. And so it could be like, why is my animal all of a sudden acting differently? What's going on? So, for example, I had a session with a cat this morning, and she wanted to know why the cat was now waking her up at 4 in the morning, which we know that cats are nocturnal and they like us to be up. But this particular cat was seeing a spirit, and it freaked her out.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, the spirit was actually messing with the cat. So the cat was totally freaked out and was like trying to get the person's attention. I'm trying to tell the person, help me. But the person was just like, what's going on with my cat? Why is she meowing? Well, the cat was meowing to let her know there was a spirit in the house bothering her. So that's what a session is, basically me connecting with the animal, getting the information, and then going through questions like, is my cat happy, or whatever the animal is? What is the animal's soul lesson for me? Why are we together? A lot of people have been with their animals before. It's not uncommon that you have shared lives, other lives together, and they've come back to be with you to finish whatever karma needs to be completed. So there's many reasons why people contact me, and it could be anything. Questions could be anything from what happened in their past and how can we help them, because we know that the animal has been abused, and so we work out a healing plan for the animal.
What are the kinds of questions would be asked? Do people ever ask to find lost objects?
No.
So in other words, if a cat or a dog has taken something of a value or something precious to the owner and the partner, the companion, and smuggled it away under a couch or behind a chair or something like that, people don't try to find things that way?
No, I've never had that, actually.
Okay, all righty.
But the animal probably wouldn't say anyway if they were hiding it.
Right. What about complaints? Are they complaining at all, the animals?
They're... I would like to say requesting change in the house as opposed to complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, you know, how would you like eating the same food every night? Can we have a different flavor, please?
Cool. Absolutely. I understand that completely. Yeah. What else?
So another thing would be, could you please tell the child not to scream in my face? It's very loud for me. Can you please not play your music so loud? It hurts my ears. I get sick in the car. Why do we have to travel so much? There are flower essences, by the way, for animals to help them with motion sickness.
And these seem like very human questions, and we're going to have more with animal communicator Sue Pike after these messages on Destination Unlimited on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited with my guest tonight, Sue Pike, the animal talker. And in the first segment, Sue, we were talking a little bit about getting the animal's backstory, especially animals that have been rescued and adopted. What kind of stories have they shared with you, some of the real touching ones?
Oh, boy. Well, there's so many, but luckily there's a lot of people out there that do adopt, not shop, which I highly recommend. And some of the stories are their person has died. You know, they've been with their person for years and years, and they're older, elderly, and they die. And so somebody adopts an older animal, which is always a wonderful thing. And they have just beautiful stories about how their person was with them and they're looking for that kind of love and attention in their new home. There's also, unfortunately, a lot of abuse situations. And so, but the rescues, they never want people to feel sorry for them, by the way. Mm-hmm. I want to say that animals don't want us to feel sorry for them. They want perhaps a healing plan of how they can feel better about themselves and move forward. And so I've had a lot of wonderful healing stories with that, where an animal is rescued, and then I do Reiki with them. We find out what other healing modalities the animal can benefit from, like acupuncture or T-touch or chiropractic if there's a physical issue. Sometimes a combination of cold or hot laser and acupuncture is really wonderful for them. And there's also, I work with flower essences that work on the emotional, mental, spiritual, physical aspects of the animal. And so we can get them to start feeling better about themselves, having more confidence, and help them be the beautiful being that they were meant to be. And I've seen that transformation, and that is fantastic.
And of course, in your case, there's also talk therapy.
There you go. And don't worry, I always like to say this. There's one woman, actually, it comes up a lot, that people are worried that their animal is going to rat them out, that they're going to some kind of family secret, you know? Mm-hmm. And the animal has total respect and love for their person and will never rat them out.
Absolutely. You had mentioned about adopting and not buying, and I just want to share my personal adoption story. When our son was 13, those of our listeners who know, my son's a little guy, and he was born with a lot of physical issues, but he's an amazing human being and has overcome all of those issues. But he was still small when he was 13, and he really wanted to adopt a dog. And we went out on a Sunday, and we visited several shelters here in New York, in Long Island. And there was nothing that really tickled his fancy in terms of the dogs. And we finally got to a place called The Little Shelter in Northport, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped my wife and my son at the office. I went and parked the car, and I walk into the office, and there he is on the floor with this amazing dog on top of him, licking his face nonstop and just loving him to pieces. And I said, what's going on? And it turned out that this dog had been rescued from Hurricane Katrina down in Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
And had been brought up to the little shelter. They don't know what happened to the previous owners or where they were. But it turned out that another couple had just adopted her and took her home, and she could not get along with their existing four-legged companion. So they were bringing her back as we arrived, and this interaction, this was obviously fate, and
yes.
they kissed when they met, so we named her Kismet, and that's exactly what happened. And it's just been such a rewarding being, having her as part of our family has been absolutely beautiful and rewarding, and I advocate for anyone out there, if you're contemplating bringing a companion into your home, go out to a shelter this weekend and work with the animal. So how does someone know whether an animal is right for them or not?
Well, it's so funny that you ask that, because they pick us. We
right.
think we're going to pick them. Wrong. Error. I went to get a female black kitten when I went to get my cat about 22 years ago. And I ended up with a fat, white, two-year-old male cat. Because I wasn't connecting with the black kittens. They were cute, but And this woman was kind of pushing this cat because he was older. And I thought, all right. And he was very loving and kissing me and stuff. And I thought, well, I don't know. I want to get a black kitten. So I put him back in the cage. And my friend was with me. And she said, I don't know, Sue. That cat is like staring at you. So I went over to him and I said, all right, cat, if you want me to take you home, you have to give me a sign. And he got up from, he was in the back on his litter box. He got up and he stuck his head through the cage and went, meow.
Aww.
And, oh, okay. So I picked him up. I couldn't be any clearer of a sign. And he just snuggled in me and he wouldn't move. And I thought, well, okay, I asked him for the sign, and there you go. So I took him home, and I had him for over 18 years. Mm-hmm. So they pick us always. You know, it's not uncommon for, you know, like what happened with your son. That happens all the time.
Well, I've got to share, there's a little more to the story. When we were going, it was my wife's intention that she could get a dog that she could pick up and put in her purse and carry that way in case there was an emergency. And this dog, Kismet, was 40 pounds at the time we adopted her. And we were told she wouldn't get any bigger than that, and she's 90 pounds today now, so... she didn't get any bigger than that. But one of the things that we used to do, we were deliberating, my wife especially, about the taking Kismet home. And when we used to have a little family question or an issue, we would have a thing we'd call bug hug, which means we'd all three of us hug together, snug as a bug in a rug. And when in the process of doing that, we'd feel whether the decision was right or not. So we had played with Kismet for a while in their play area, and then we looked at each other, and she needed a decision, and we said, bug hug, and the three of us hugged together, and Kismet came between the three of us and just went right up the middle, and we knew then and there that she was the one, she was our family, she was coming home with us, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's it happens all the time. If you're open, and I was really determined to get one kind of cat, and clearly I got another one, but that happens to people all the time. And there's so many amazing animals in shelters. And, you know, the other question that comes to me a lot is, why isn't Fluffy getting along with, you know, the other animal? And it's because they haven't had a proper introduction. So there's a couple things. One, a lot of people call me after they adopt a second animal, and the first one is saying, well, why are they talking to you now? Why didn't they ask me beforehand if I wanted someone else? Because a lot of times they're like, I really like being number one and getting all the attention. But, you know, people have a tendency to think, oh, they must be lonely and whatever. So a lot of times, you know, that's an issue. But secondly, people don't do the proper introduction. It takes a little bit of patience and time. The Humane Society has a great thing on their website about how to introduce a new pet to the home. And it's very detailed. And you can actually redo it. So if you don't do it properly initially and there's a lot of battles going on, a lot of fur flying, you can actually separate them again and do the reintroduction. And I've had clients do that a lot, and it works out just fine. But it just takes a little time and patience for them to get acclimated with each other. And usually, when they do that, it usually works out just fine.
And I assume in the process of pre-communication, you can determine whether the existing animal companion is alpha or not, and whether the proposed adoptive animal companion is alpha or not, and then determine whether or not they'd make a good pair.
Yes, and a lot of times you'd be surprised. A cat would want a dog or a bunny, or it's not always the same species, especially if they've been around other species in their life. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised. Sometimes I had this one client, it was a dog who was just longing to be with a cat again, because he had been with a cat who was like his compadre in another home and really missed that. And so they got him a cat and he was really happy. They're also very specific. I would like to have a not too young, but young enough so I can boss around animal. You know, they're very specific. I want a female. So, you know, if their person is asking me what kind of animal they want, they tell me I want another dog, but not too young, so it's bothersome, you know, which I can relate, you know.
Who wants Absolutely.
So it's really funny. They're very specific.
That's interesting that the animals would be that specific. That's really fascinating. So getting back to communication, we had talked a little bit about this earlier. So what is a communication session like with an animal that's transitioned?
So with an animal that's transitioned, I do the same process of connecting with them prior to them, the person calling me. And I just get a sense of what they're doing. And it's amazing because not all animals are doing the same thing in spirit form. So I've talked to animals that are just chillaxing, relaxing. They're like, it's really nice here. I feel light. It's nice. And there's other animals who are very advanced soul-wise that are actually teaching. There's other animals that are in what I've learned to, it's called spirit school, which is very fascinating to me. And they're in spirit school to evolve their soul to the next level. I worked with a dog the other day. It was incredible. He told me that his job is helping children transition. So he's there helping them when they're about to cross and helps them, you know, basically cross. And that's his job. And the woman freaked out. She was like, oh my God, he helped children in this life, like before he died.
Absolutely. Yeah. A crossover guide. What a wonderful occupation for a beloved pet.
That's yeah, amazing.
Amazing. My guest, Sue Pike, the Animal Talker. Sue, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and the wonderful work that you do.
They can go to my website, which is SuePikeEnergy.com. That's P-I-K-E, SuePikeEnergy.com. I also post a lot of things on my blog, which is animalchanneler.blogspot.com.
Wonderful. And we'll be back with more of Sue Pike, the Animal Talker, on Destination Unlimited on the Om Times Radio Network after these messages.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Om Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening is Sue Pike, the Animal Talker. And before the break, Sue, we were talking a little bit about animals that have transitioned, that are on the other side, that tell you what they're doing and some of the wonderful things that they're doing. Do animals also give you an indication when they know they're ready to transition?
Yes, it's one of the many questions that I get contacted for. Is my animal ready to go? Do they want to stay on this medication? You know, whatever it is, the animals will tell me I'm tired. I don't want to be poked anymore. So for example, a lot of animals are on IVs and they're getting shots every day. And I just worked with a cat a couple days ago who was just exhausted. He was just ready to go. I can't legally medically diagnose, but I can definitely find out from the animal if they're ready to go or not. And they're so in the moment. They'll say, well, not right now, not today. No, thank you. But soon. And so then I ask them, well, how will the person know? Can we agree on a sign? And they'll say, most of them will say, I'll hide and they'll know I'm ready. Or they'll say, I will not eat or drink any water anymore. And they'll know it's time. Now, if an animal's on steroids, it's hard for them because they're usually extra thirsty and stuff, but it might be masking what they're really ready for. So they can let me know maybe another way. Also, I talk to them about whether they want assistance or not, because a lot of animals want to just go naturally. They don't want assistance. Mm-hmm. So I have to explain to the animal what assistance is and show them a picture of what that would mean. And a lot of them say, no, I'd like to go naturally. And the important thing people need to know is that animals actually meditate to remove themselves from physical pain. It's amazing. This woman the other day was like, oh my God, I've seen my dog kind of not really awake, but not sleeping. Is she meditating? Mm-hmm. And I found out from the dog that yes. So they know actually how to remove themselves from the pain. It's fascinating.
And do anyone, once the animal communicates their desires, any animal companions work with you to create sort of a living will for the animal?
What do you mean?
In other words, human beings will create a living will saying, don't keep me alive by artificial means, that type of thing, if they're in a coma or whatever it might be. Do the animals say that I want to go naturally? Do they ever ask for like a contract?
No, they just ask for a nice picture of them to be framed and put in the living room where everybody can see them.
Of course. Absolutely.
That's what they want. That's and they beautiful. Actually, animals at that point want permission from their person to cross.
Okay.
And that's really what they want. They just want permission.
Do you ever work with people in that situation to facilitate the crossing?
Yes. I feel very honored when, I mean, it's difficult, but it's also beautiful at the same time, where the person has, you know, hired somebody to come and do the procedure in their home so their animal's safe and comfortable. And I will go over and offer the person Reiki first just to help them calm down because it's, you know, it's a big event, obviously. And then I offer Reiki to the animal to help them relax before the vet comes. And so I'm actually offering Reiki to the animal while the vet is doing the shots. They do two. One is to put them, like, get them relaxed and sleep, and then they do the final one. And I can tell the person who is waiting for the animal on the other side, which is so beautiful because I can see, like, the crew, basically, the animal's crew, waiting to assist them to cross over. And so it gives a peace of mind to the person knowing who's there.
That's beautiful. I'm not an animal talker, but I've had the privilege of helping some friends help their animal companions cross. And it's just a beautiful and very
yes.
rewarding experience. And something that the animal companion it takes the pain away so much and just
yes.
makes it the transition so much easier and the memory to be so loving. So thank you for doing that work. It's very, very special and beautiful work.
Yeah, I feel, like I said, I feel very honored when I'm part of that process. It's very, like you said, it's very beautiful.
I've done that for humans also in a hospice situation.
And mm-hmm.
It's a real responsibility and an honor when you're asked to come into that situation with a family. So I know exactly what you're talking about. So now, will animal companions share their medical and emotional needs with you?
Well, for medical, they'll tell me, or their guides actually will say feel, you know, like, again, I can't medically diagnose, but I can feel if it feels like arthritis. And they'll tell me, you know, it starts bothering me in my hip parts when it's low pressure, when it's about to rain, and blah, blah, blah. And I'll get information like acupuncture would be beneficial for this animal. and specific flower essences that will help them. So in that aspect, yes, they let me know, either the animal or their guides, because the animal might not know what can help them with their healing.
And what about emotional needs?
Emotional needs, yes. So for example, the cat I worked with today was stressed out, well, A, from the spirit that was bugging her, but also her person was really stressed out. And animals mirror us. So if we're stressed out, our animal partners are stressed out.
Absolutely.
We're chilled, the animal feels chill. So they're little energy sponges. So emotionally, he was exhausted and felt high anxiety and really wanted his person to relax, and in particular, the person's husband. And the cat said, I love him very much, but he uses his head too much and he thinks too much and it's making me stressed out. So tell him to relax and not worry so much.
Wow, that's funny.
And
that's
the woman said, oh my God, it's so true. He just worries all the time.
There you go. There you go. And of course, animals are psychic and they pick up on that. And they're empathic. Animals are the ultra empaths, I believe.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes. And actually, I had an animal, a horse, start bucking. And the woman was like, what the hell is going on? Sorry, what the heck is going on? Because, you know, my horse has never bucked before and I keep falling off. And it's not a hard fall, but I'm falling. What's going on? And the horse said, I'm trying to get your attention because I don't think you're feeling well and you have to go to the doctor.
Wow.
And the woman went to the doctor. She said, I swear, Sue, he was right. And she had some knee issues, some other, you know, she had some physical stuff going on, and the horse just wanted her to take care of herself.
That sounds like horse sense to me.
Yes.
Now, can you communicate with more than one animal at once?
Well, it's funny. If somebody has three animals in the household and they want to do a session with one or two, I tell them, no, we have to do all three, because the other one will be like, what's going on? How come they didn't want to talk to me?
Left out, yeah.
So I do, but I have to tell them one at a time, because I've definitely been in a situation where I'm talking to an animal who's not the alpha, and the alpha one's like, excuse me, I would like to say some things too. And they also will rat each other out, not their people, but each other's. So, you know, that one cat will say, hey, you know, Luna isn't so innocent. And then Luna will say, yeah, well, Barfy isn't so innocent either. This is what they do when you're not at home. And they will.
Well, you just intuited my next question, which was, do animals ever gossip about each other at Tattletale? And
yes!
Obviously they do.
But not about their people. They'll talk about the emotional things that are going on with the people that maybe they need to work on, which is why the animal's with them, but they will totally rat out each other.
So in other words, if one of them knocks something over, the other one will rat them out.
Totally.
Absolutely. That's funny.
That's pretty funny.
I think there's a television commercial where it shows one animal doing something naughty, and then when the owner comes home, it acts as if it was the innocent one. It looks at the other one and points at the other one. So I guess that's true.
Yes, it's definitely true.
Now, do you have the ability to locate missing pets and animals?
I don't do that because it takes a constant vigilance of where they are now, where they move so quickly that, you know, it's just not something that I do because I just don't have enough time to do that. There are people that specialize in that. And I actually, if somebody is contacting me for a missing pet, I will refer them to other people that do that. I mean, I get a feeling, a sense if the animal is still alive or not, but the exact location, I don't do that.
Do any of the animals that you've ever communicated or talked with give you any type of profound knowledge or information, really deep?
Yes. Some people do ask me what the soul, S-O-U-L, purpose is for them being with the family. So I'm trying to think offhand of many, there's so many reasons why animals are with us. And it's usually about a lesson that we need to learn for ourselves, for our soul evolvement. And in fact, there's so many animals that go into that part of themselves, their higher selves, for messages for their humans. And then they kind of take a moment and realize, oh, I'm in cat body. Let me just go back to like what they want to know about me as a cat, because they'll start talking about lessons for their person. And then they're, oh yeah, and my favorite toy is the cat dancer. And then they go back to, you know, why don't you accept me for who I am? And maybe you can learn a little bit more about unconditional love. I'm not going to change my personality for you. It's about you accepting me for who I am. And just because I'm not sitting on your lap, it doesn't mean I don't love you. But those are kind of simple ones. The bigger lessons are from animals that I channel for. I do this radio interview every month. And I ask, what animal or animal realms have messages for all of us for our highest good? And the last one I did was a bear stepped forward, and he wanted to make sure people are getting their proper nourishment for their mind, body, and soul, and to rest. And if you're feeling lethargic, to call on bear to help. But it was more about like, what are you feeding yourself soul wise, and make sure you're taking care of yourself, that you're receiving. And then he started talking about the planet and the environment. And a lot of animals are very concerned about the environment. And I get a lot of messages from a lot of animals about the land and the sea, and not to forget to take care of our planet. And I would say, well, not all the animals I talk to, but there are a lot that have these messages for their people. And they just say, just do your part, even if it's what you think is a little thing. Pick up litter if you see it. You know, they talk about this a lot. And for me, I feel like that's very profound, and everybody needs to listen to them about that.
True animal wisdom from nature. And we'll be back with Sue Pike, the animal talker, on Destination Unlimited after these messages.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created AARP.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit AARP.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Sue Pike, the animal talker. We were talking a little bit earlier about giving Reiki to animal companions, and that you only give it when they ask for it. How do you know that they actually want the Reiki?
Well, a lot of times they know what Reiki is, but if they don't know what it is, I explain it to them, and then I tell them, I will start the session, and if you don't like it, we'll stop. Mm. And animals that have been abused will ask me, will it hurt? And I tell them, no, you have total control. I'll start, and if you don't like it, we'll stop right away.
Which is the same thing that a true Reiki master, Reiki practitioner will do with human clients. So let's talk a little bit about Reiki for our listeners who are not familiar, and I'm sure there's not many, but for those not familiar with Reiki, please explain what it is.
Well, Rei is universal life force energy, everything that's love in the universe, and Ki is your own, the persons or animals, Chi, prana, life force. And as a Reiki practitioner, I'm just the straw bringing the energy to the animal or the person, and they take in as much or as little of the energy as they want or need. And most animals love Reiki. However, there are some animals that are, animals are very sensitive, period. However, there are some animals that are extra sensitive to this energy, and they like to be around it, but they don't necessarily want it directly given to them. Mm-hmm. It's too much. My cat, for example, he didn't like it directly towards him, but when I was doing sessions, when he was around, he would stay around it. And then when he had enough, he would leave. But most animals really love it. I worked on a horse last month, and she just, her whole body, she was leaning into my hands. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to leave. It was amazing. So that's what Reiki is, a beautiful, subtle but powerful healing modality, as you know.
Absolutely. And my kismet loves Reiki and will take the energy anytime she can. Yeah. And years ago, I had a client who had a cat. And every time I would work with this person and give her Reiki, her cat would jump on the table and participate. And we called her the Reiki cat because she loved Reiki, loved being in the energy, and also she was actually giving the energy herself, the cat. So it just, it was part, yes, of a very special healing process. And a lot of animals do that, don't they? A lot of animals are part of that energy healing world.
Yeah, there's a client of mine whose cat, it's, oh my God, it's so funny. He told me that he invented Reiki. And he is so funny. And he was with another cat and a dog, and the dog was sick. And when I came over, he had his paw on the part of the dog that was hurting. And he said, oh, excuse me, I'm doing Reiki right now on this dog.
Aww.
Okay. And I said, well, can I offer him a little Reiki? And he said, yes, but go here. Like, he was instructing me as to where I should do the Reiki on the dog. He is really funny. And he's actually flown in astrally and helped me with other animals that I've done remote Reiki with. I see this cat flying in and it's like, oh, here he is. He's helping out again. So it's pretty funny.
Now, we talk about energy healing, and a lot of people have this presupposition that energy healing involves only the laying on of hands, yet we talk about doing it remotely. How is it done remotely?
Well, Reiki consists of, when you get to level 2, Reiki symbols, and one of the symbols is a distant healing symbol. So if you are a Reiki 2 practitioner, you can send Reiki remotely all across the world, wherever you want to send it, to the person or animal. And so the intention is there, the symbol helps you do it, and then the energy goes directly to that being.
Absolutely. And there's no bounds to time, space,
yep,
past, present, or future. You can send healing to the past, and you can send healing to the future if you need to.
Exactly.
Now, you were trained and attuned and mastered in the Usui tradition. Please explain to our listeners who don't know what that's about.
Well, Master Usui was a Tibetan monk, and he had learned about this healing technique, and he wasn't quite sure about it, and he wanted to be attuned to the energy. It was lost and rediscovered by Master Usui. And he went on a mountaintop and meditated for 21 days and was not receiving anything until the 21st day. And then a giant, huge light came and hit him in the third eye and knocked him down. And that was his attunement to Reiki. And he was the founder of that particular lineage of Reiki, but apparently there are many, 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 many different types of Reiki. It's very popular in Japan. So it was lost and rediscovered by this Japanese monk, Yusui. And so then he attuned a doctor, a naval officer, Dr. Hayashi, and he attuned a woman so the lineage wouldn't be lost again because the war was imminent. So Hawaii Takata, who lived in Hawaii, went to Japan and he attuned her. She came back to America and that's how it was brought here.
Absolutely. Now, you also mentioned you work with crystals. What's that like?
Well, crystals have their own energy. And so, it's so funny because the cat this morning said to me very specifically, I would like smoky quartz, clear quartz, rose quartz, a black tourmaline in the corner of the room. He listed five crystals.
That's funny.
And I found out his person is a crystal healer.
Ah, so like, learned from the person.
How does this cat know?
That's wonderful.
It was amazing.
And do you use crystal arrays when you're doing Reiki also?
Yes.
Okay. Just give our listeners an idea of what that's like.
So actually for me, what I do is I have a whole bunch of different crystals that relate to different chakras in the person. So everybody has these energy centers that we call chakras. And so I have specific crystals that work with that specific chakra. And so what I do is when they're on the table, before the person comes, actually, I go through all of my crystals and ask who wants to come and help with the session. So I actually communicate with the crystals, believe it or not. And then I take the who wants to help and I lay them on the person on their chakras and ask for their energy to start working on them. So it's like a combination energy slam with the Reiki and the crystals.
Now, you're also a spirit channeler. What does it mean to be a spirit channeler?
So what that means is I am a channel that I directly, I'm a spirit channeler that I directly channel from many different spiritual realms, including and not limited to ETs, star beings, angels, archangels, ascended masters, fairies, animals in like sea animals, whoever wants to get a message. And these are all beings of the highest order. I only call in those of the highest order. I don't want to be talking to somebody cranky or some negative energy. So only those of love and light. And what it means is I can directly channel from that being, whoever it is, whether it's an angel or a star being, to the person for the person's highest good.
Wonderful. And do you also use energy work to do space clearings?
Yes. I will use Reiki to clear space. The angels and the archangels will give me messages about where to go. Sometimes I'll see that there's a problem with the grid actually underneath the building. So we work on actually clearing the grid underneath where the house or the building is to start clearing up the energy from the bottom up, so to speak.
Now, in addition to Reiki, you offer classes that you call play shops. What's a play shop like?
Well, I like to offer a lot of good information, but keep it lighthearted. So that's why I call them play shops instead of workshops, because workshops sound so boring and dull. So it's a lot of information and it's good information. It's just done in a lighthearted fashion.
And what are some of those play shops? What are the subject matters in those play shops?
So I teach how to connect with your intuition, how to trust and connect to your intuition, because a lot of people know things, they're just not trusting it. And in fact, a lot of my animal clients will say, I thought so, because they're so connected to their animal, but they're not trusting it. So I teach them how to do that. I also teach how to have boundaries with the unseen. So there's a lot of people that are intuitive or channels, but they don't know what to do with all that energy. So I help them with that. I also teach, obviously, animal communication. And
And if I were to come to, for example, an animal communication play shop, what would that be like?
So I just taught one a couple weeks ago, and that would be first I get everybody up and dancing and moving to get into their bodies. And then I just go through the process of how to do it literally, how to connect with the animal. But I also do some intuition exercises to help people open up. We do some meditation. It's a whole bunch of fun stuff.
Wonderful. And what's coming up in the future for Sue Pike, the Animal Talker?
More animals, more communication.
Any workshops coming up for you that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I will probably be teaching another Reiki class in the next few months and another animal communication class probably next month.
Wonderful. Sue, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And please tell our listeners one more time how they can get in touch with you and find out more about Sue Pike, the Animal Talker.
They can go to my website, suepikeenergy.com, or go to my blog, animalchanneler.blogspot.com. And of course, you can always email me at reikisue@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Sue, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This was an absolute delight, and I'm sure our listeners learned a lot about the world of animal talking.
Thank you so much, Victor.
And thank you all for joining us. I'm Victor the Voice Furman on Destination Unlimited. Until next week, everyone, have a great week.